Starting this Wednesday, she will share for a full hour each week, beginning at 1:30 Eastern Time, which is 10:30 a.m. Pacific. This is a new time for her. She moved to this earlier time in order to extend her teaching to a full hour. Each week, Gina reads from one of her channeled books. She also comments on the reading or invites Jesus to comment during her voice, using her voice. So welcome to the lineup there, Gina. And I certainly look forward to listening to your sharing within the sanctuary. And lastly, this week we ordain two new Awakening Together ministers at the fall retreat. And we are ordaining two more ministers in the sanctuary this evening, Joanne Schneider and Bonnie Droege. I hope I said your name correct there, Bonnie. They were ordained at the retreat. So welcome as new ministers to Joanne Schneider and Bonnie Droege. Manuela Gariola and Carl Lammers will be ordained in the sanctuary tonight at 8 p.m. Following the ordination ceremony, we will spotlight a sanctuary speaker, Caroline Chang, at 9 p.m. Eastern. Carolyn teaches the truth of oneness within. She is absolutely joyous about our interconnectedness, and I am too, Caroline. Come and get to know her tonight at 9 p.m. Eastern. So there you have it. We have a lot of great things going on in the sanctuary. We have welcomed two new ministers to our illustrious lineup of ministers. Indeed, we do have just a beautiful array of ministers here at Awakening Together. So absolutely welcome to all of those who will be joining us soon in this role. So now I'd like to move on then to our opening song, which I'll turn the mic back over to Lynn to play that song, and then I'll rejoin us for our prayer after that. So Lynn, please play that song.
Oh, So shall we rise with him to life, which soars beyond the grave.
Join me now for prayer. I come today before the light of the infinite one creator, giving thanks for all that is. Giving thanks for the members who are here today as we have joined in one common purpose. At some level, we have chosen to turn away from the world as we know it and to seek truth. Direct experience, direct knowing of what truth is. And so I come humbly here today, surrendered in my own thinking or outlooks on how anything has to be without any attachments whatsoever. As a choice to join with my mighty companions here today as we share in the one light, the one love, and the one truth that is our natural being. And so I give thanks to all as all. And so it is, and so I let it be. Amen. Okay, so it is now time for us to move right into our gathering for this week. The topic for this week's gathering is neutrality, the pathway to peace. Today's reading comes from The Way of Mastery, which is by J.M. Hammer. This particular book, for those of you who aren't aware, was released. I wasn't actually that familiar with The Way of Mastery either prior to our retreat. It was a book I had heard of, but not one I had actually picked up and read and looked at. So I was guided to look at this Way of Mastery. It was something that John Mark referred to quite often during his conversation with us. So this particular book was done in three parts. Part one is The Way of the Heart. Part two is The Way of Transformation. And part three is The Way of Knowing. So this reading is coming from part one, which is The Way of the Heart. It's coming from chapter 9, which is All Events Are Neutral. Kathy Smith is my reader today, and she'll be reading from a section in Chapter 9 called Look with Innocence on What You Value. So I'm going to release the mic right now to let Kathy bring forth that reading. Thank you.
Good morning. I'm trusting you can hear me okay. So I'm going to get right into the reading, Look with Innocence on What You Value. And it starts off right away with the notion of where do you draw your line in the sand, so to speak. Okay, here we go. Where then have you drawn the line? Where have you said, I will allow neutrality to all events in this sphere, but not in that sphere? If my friends divorce or separate, well, okay, I'll see that as neutral. But if my spouse leaves me, that is not neutral. If my friend's father leaves $3 million to his children, well, that's fine. That's a neutral event. But if my father leaves his $3 million to charity and leaves me out of the picture, that is not a neutral event. Dreams in a country on the other side of the world from where I am become polluted because the consciousness of a community allowed a factory to be built without safeguards. Well, it's on the other side of the world, a neutral event. But if they build it in my backyard, it is no longer neutral. It is always wise to look lovingly to see where you have drawn the line, to see what you will look upon as neutral and what you cling to as being filled with meaning and value that is unquestionable. For there, you will find what requires forgiveness within you. We have shared with you that mastery is a state of fearlessness. When you place a value upon something and then become adamant that that value exists in the event or the object outside of you, you have secured your place in fear. And fearlessness is as far away from you as the East is from the West. Look well then to see where you have placed a value and insisted that that value be unshakable. How many times in each of your days do you say, oh boy, if my dog ever died, I would not be able to take it. That would just be the end of me. Or, if the banks collapse, oh God, I wouldn't be able to take that. Be careful what you decree. Look to see where you are emotionally enmeshed with the value you have placed upon anything or anyone. Any relationship whatsoever, whether it be the relationship with your spouse, the relationship with your body, the relationship with your cat or your dog, the relationship with your bank account, the relationship with your government. Look at all of your relationships, for you have made them what they are. Where can freedom be experienced, save within a consciousness that has learned how to transcend the contraction of fear? And fear is the result of your attachment to the values you have placed upon the events you experience, which are made up of events, persons, places, and things. All of these are actually just events. Every web of relationship comes to you perfectly neutral. You decree it by naming it and defining it. When one comes to you in anger and you react, recognize that you first decided that they are angry, and you have brought forth with it all of the associations you have ever decided to value concerning what anger means. Yet in that very moment, you hold the power to witness this field of energy circulating through the body and mind and the speech of another, and to see it as a dance of energy, a mystery arising from some unseen source and web of relationships. You could look upon it with curiosity and with wonder if you defined it differently. This is true for all things that arise, even the great diseases that seem to threaten the life of the body can be looked at with complete neutrality. But if you define them in a specific way, you will call to yourself the fear of that event, which comes with all of the associations you have learned from the world and from your own experiences. The message of this lesson is simple, but it is very important. It builds on all that we have shared previously with you. You are a creator, and you cannot help but create. The question then is, what will you create in each moment? And that's the end of our reading, and so I'll give up the mic.
Okay, and thank you very much, Kathy. That was a wonderful reading there. And I do just want to take one moment to say an extra special thank you to Kathy. She's always very willing to read for me and has been this entire time that I've been sharing. So greatly appreciated. Thank you very much, Kathy. All right, so that reading was really about neutrality and how it can be a pathway to peace. What I want to start with is our core value number 3. We accept one true self, which is one presence or being, non-dual, without beginning or end, and absolutely changeless. We live this value by practicing letting go of the belief in the individual self as who we are. So that is our Awakening Together core value that this lesson today or this sharing today will be a central focus for. So I want to start by talking about the retreat that we just recently attended. So we all arrived there, we all attended the event, but each person, if you were to ask anyone who attended that event, they would have a slightly different impression on what their experience was like. So, like, ranging from how they arrived, what they ate, what they heard, and what they experienced at this event. I know for me, I came by plane, I enjoyed every meal, and I'll share some today, some highlights of what my experience was like. My roommate, Irene, she drove from New Mexico, which was about a 4-hour drive, and undoubtedly she picked up on some slightly different pointers than what I picked up on, and we were all at the exact same event. So that perception, that little picture that I've just drawn for you there, brings me to one of the takeaways that I received from Brent Haskell's retreat. Brent came in and did a one-day workshop with us, and during that workshop he gave us a myriad of information, just really good. And he's actually funny. I didn't expect Brent to be a funny person, but he is actually he was actually very comedic, and it was a really good retreat with him. But there was one key point that I was a takeaway for me, and I'd like to share that with you here today. And that's when he spoke about the triad. He gave us three things that he said this triad was made up of. And the first was that the world is imaginary. If you think about the example that I started out with, that 25 to 30 people would give you a slightly different impression of the exact same experience, that is a clear indicator that each point of view is uniquely different, even if only in a slightest way. And what I've personally learned about reality is that it doesn't change. There's no changing in what is really true, or reality with a capital R. So to have 25 to 30 different people give you a slightly different version of the same event speaks to this imaginary world that Brent taught us about in the triad. The world is absolutely a figment of our imagination, is the way Brent put it there. The second one was that everything was a choice. And the third of the triad was that everything is love. Everything is love. Now, when John Mark came and shared, which I also found that to be very interesting, how both speakers shared seemed to intertwine. They were saying the same thing in different ways, which is always, to me, an indicator of truth. For me, it's an indicator of truth. So John Mark shared that everything, it could also be viewed as freedom. You know, to say that everything is love could also be viewed as everything is freedom. And for this mind, it's easier. It melted through, it got past all of my internal barriers to say that everything is a perfect expression of freedom. And I might add that while they were sharing on this particular part, I was also reminded of Regina's Holy Spirit's version of what love is. Love is spirit giving to spirit through spirit that which spirit requests, which also fits perfectly into this notion that, or this truth that everything is my choice and everything is love. So that was one of the major things that I was able to really, so I've heard on many occasions that the world is an illusion. But to start out hearing Brent give me the triad in this way, and he did expand on this greatly, but then to also go into John Mark coming right behind him and sharing that everything is neutral, and that our best option is to abide as presence. Now, one of the major takeaways for me for John Mark was his definition of what presence was. He gave a beautiful breakdown that presence was actually pre-sense, which is prior to sensory perceptions. Okay? He also shared that our senses are designed only to report to us separation. So for me, this was a chipping and a deep breaking away, if you will, of the idea that these senses could somehow report to me. And again, this is what we look with, what we seek with, are the senses, right? This is what, these are the tools that we have to find out what the truth is. But these very senses are designed to only report to us separation. So for me, that was a huge breakthrough, or I was able to receive a huge breakthrough there. This is the reality of our being. And it just, everything just fit together so nicely, especially the comments on pre-senses. What those senses are designed to do, and what another very slight but yet profound shift that I had there was this shift, the truth that everything is neutral, everything is love, everything is freedom, and the practice of abiding as spacious presence. So for me, prior to that, I was abiding in presence, you know, and this slight shift to abiding as presence. John Mark shared that seeking the kingdom first was critical in being able to be in this world and not of it, the way Jesus taught. That seeking the kingdom first meant first seeking to abide as the presence that we are. Because, like Brent shared, everything is a choice. Everything is love. The world is a figment of our imagination. So, this learning to abide as spacious presence, John Mark went through several activities and exercises with us where he gave us this tremendous experience of resting as presence, seeing the body as an anchor for this presence instead of this thing that we were running away from. We were taught to see the body as an anchor, and to allow this to rest as this presence. And I've certainly been practicing with that whole notion of resting as the presence that everything arises out of and from. It was a very slight shift in the thinking. And I'm reminded now of a video that I recently saw called The Bicycle Brain. And some of you may have already seen this video, and if you haven't, I certainly welcome you to go out on YouTube and check it out. In The Bicycle Brain, these two gentlemen took a bicycle, and instead of, they did an experiment where they would turn the handle left and the tire would go right, and vice versa, they would turn it right and the tire would go left. So they changed that, just that one little thing about how the bicycle worked. So in doing so, they couldn't ride the bike. Even that one little change affected every part of the bicycle, and they could not ride the bike. And they took this bicycle all around the world and offered $250 to people if they could learn to ride this bike. No one could get on the bicycle and just ride it. Well, the gentleman eventually worked and rode and rode and rode until he finally, 8 or 9 months later, learned to ride this modified bicycle. So it took for his brain to be rewired to accept that change and ride the bicycle, which was great. He you know, mastered it. The most interesting part to me was when he went back to try to reverse that knowledge, to say, okay, I've learned how to ride this modified bicycle, now it's time for me to go back to riding a regular bicycle. And they filmed him getting on a bicycle for the first time that was the regular bicycle. Well, he's fumbling around and he can hardly hold the bike up. Mind you, this is the normal bicycle. This was the original programming of his brain, was of all of our brains, is to ride a normal bicycle. We've all heard the saying that once you learn how to ride a bicycle, you never forget. I haven't been on a bicycle in probably a couple of years, but I'm certain that if I got on one, I would know how to ride it, and I'm sure you guys would too. But again, the interesting part was when he got on the bicycle, the regular one, and he was wobbling and trying to catch his balance, there was a moment, and he commented on this in the video, where he's like, okay, there it is. You know, he could feel it shifting ever so slightly. And before you know it, boom, it shifted and he was right back riding it. So within 20 minutes, his mind readjusted to the old way of riding the bicycle, whereas it had taken 8 months to learn how to ride the modified version. The motto of that story for me, it was that once we know a new way of being, what I'm sharing today about abiding as presence, what I learned from our retreat to seek the kingdom of heaven first, and what that means is to roll back to presence and abide there, because that is our true nature. So as I'm learning to do that, as I'm learning to live a life that is not sensory based, that is not relying on senses to report to me what they can only report as separation. They cannot and will not report to me the truth of my being. So as I'm learning to shift into abiding as presence, I look forward to that moment where that, just like the guy on the bicycle, it just clicks into place, and then all of a sudden we're operating in a new way of being. And who knows when that shift is to occur, where it's something that we're doing, me personally, that I'm doing as a regular thing. But I'm going to keep practicing on this modified bicycle, if you will, until that shift occurs and I'm able to abide as presence. So I want to get back to the reading for today. The reading was, it talked a lot about neutrality. It also discussed fearlessness, where there were certain words that were used in that reading that really jumped out to me that I'd, you know, like to share. Fearlessness was one of them. What this reading shared was that fear is the result of an attachment to values we have placed upon events. If we can begin to see the events in our lives as neutral, you know, if it's too much for you, as I said, when Brent said everything is love, that I felt that hit something within me. It didn't pass right through in the same way as it did when John Mark said everything is freedom. That was allowed to come straight through this being. So if I can see everything as a perfect expression of freedom, then fear has nothing to cling on to. Fear is the result of an attachment or values that we've placed upon events, upon people. As that reading shared, if someone across the world is hungry, then I can see that as a neutral event. But if someone in my house is hungry, that I cannot see as a neutral event, because it has a direct impact on me, on this little version of what I've limited myself to. So the goal for me now is to see everything as a perfect expression of freedom, minus any ideas about what this personality may think. And the reading also shared, where can freedom be experienced if not from this place of neutrality? Is there freedom if we're holding on to a version of how we think something needs to look, how something needs to be, how something needs to turn out? Is there freedom in that point of view? And this reading, and I as well, would beg to differ that there is no freedom in that way of being. Instead, we are encouraged here to see things with great curiosity and wonderment. So if someone in my house is hungry, if I'm not able to see that as freedom or love, I can look upon that with great curiosity and wonderment as to how will this need be met. Brent also talked about paradigm beliefs during his sharing with us. He shared with us that paradigm beliefs means to hear a fact and then to overlook that fact and then continue right on believing whatever you believed prior to hearing that fact. He gave a great example about the love of God, how people believe, or the Bible says that God is love, but at the same time, we believe that he's a judgmental, angry man who's sitting up on a mountain waiting to, annihilate us. It's a paradigm belief. If God is love, he can't be this judgmental figure sitting up on a mountain, but we've overlooked facts and stuck to our belief. So I said that to bring you back to this curiosity and wonderment. If I affirm and believe that all is one, God is love, I am an unlimited creator of everything that I experience, then it would be a paradigm belief for me to worry that someone is hungry in my household or there's a bill that needs to be paid in my household. I have to look upon that with great curiosity and wonderment. Of course, you take whatever actions are before you to take, but you do that from a fearless place. You do that from a sense of fearlessness and peace. Again, seek ye first the kingdom, abiding as the presence that we are. From that place, we can let go of paradigm beliefs, paradigm way of thinking. John Mark also shared a powerful tool during the course of his sharing. He said that, and this was very helpful for me with seeing everything as freedom, or being able to look upon things with great curiosity and wonderment. What he said to us, and I'll illustrate this as best as I can here, is that everything that happens, the universe is saying, yes. That's my John Mark impression of his yes. He says that everything, every event, your body, your world, whatever, because we've already shared that this world is a figment of our imagination. So whatever you've created as creator in your world, the universe is absolutely saying yes to. Universally, across the board, doesn't matter what it is and what it looks like. One, I've modified John Mark's yes. His beautiful whisper of yes, because I did absolutely hear that when, something would come up, I'd hear that yes in my head. So I've modified John Mark's yes to yes and amen. The universe isn't just saying, whispering a yes. The yes is allowing whatever's here to be here. So any resistance that we do at that point, then we're causing our fear, we're causing the struggle, we're causing the pain, because the universe has already said that silent yes to allowing. and the addition that I've added, yes and amen, to whatever's here, because it's not just the universe is not just allowing it, the universe has blessed it. The universe has blessed whatever's here. Whatever you see, whatever your eyes report, because we know that our eyes are not reporting the truth to us. They're not designed to do that. The eyes don't see. Right? So, this yes and amen that the universe delivers up to every single circumstance. If we can start right there with the yes and amen to whatever shows up, we've won half the battle. We've, no matter, you know, John Mark didn't teach us to run away from whatever we're feeling as a result of what shows up. We're never to run away or to spiritually bypass any emotions that may arise when things show up that are not pleasant for us. It's not about that. It's about acknowledging with a yes and amen to whatever's here. Whatever emotions are going to come up, I'll be with those emotions. I'll allow those emotions to be here and to work their way through me, because anything that comes up, as Brent shared, is just an opportunity. It's a gift. It's a gift that we're being given to let go of these beliefs that everything is not love. Because if we believe that everything is love, what could we fight against? What would we need to forgive? What would we need to forget if everything is love? You see, we come back to this wholeness of knowing and resting in a place that knows that everything that we experience has been divinely ordained and given a yes and an amen by the Creator. So if I push against what's here, I'm pushing against all of creation. And we all well know what results from pushing against all of creation. Fear, doubt, anger, frustration. Yeah, I think you get the drift on that. When we push against all of creation pushes back. So to this neutrality that I'm asking that we look at, this neutrality, this way of seeing life through eyes of love, because we are creators, as the reading also pointed out at the end. We create our reality, which is the exact same thing that Brent said to us during the course of the retreat. We are creators. The only question is, and we are creating right this moment, we are creating. So the only question then is what are we going to create? What are we choosing to create? Because it is a choice that we're all making to be creators. So another little thing that came from the retreat was, I was speaking to one of our ministers there, Sandy Ruiz, and her and I spoke and we talked about Bentinho's, his 21-day process. And I thought that was fascinating that that came up, and because I did experience phenomenal synchronicities since the retreat. A lot of synchronicities happened during the retreat for me. It's as if the universe, after it clicked in my head that, okay, this is presence. I can rest as presence. It's as if the entire universe is saying, yes and amen. You know, everything is now, coming in such a way, I won't get off into that too greatly. I want to get back to what I shared with Sandy at the retreat. So I was already looking at empowerment. That's something I was looking at, which has been Tenyo's work. And I decided to take a look at the 21-day process. I had already seen it and said I was going to go back to it and just hadn't gotten around to it. But I heard that as a call to go look at it, and I did. So basically with Bentinho's 21-day process, he suggests that before you get up every morning, before your feet hit the floor, you acknowledge that you have no doubts today, you have no triggers, you develop this mindset of this personality. And that to me rang really true and fit perfectly in to what I had just learned from Brent and John Mark, right? We are creator. This personality that you hear speaking to you now, I created this personality, this way of being, this way of thinking, this way of seeing things. I created this. So if I created this Gloria personality, why can't I create a personality where I don't have all these triggers and I don't have all of these doubts and fears and all of this other stuff going on? You know, why can't I play with that notion of living a life that is what I just described? So I've been doing that. On November 2nd, I started that 21-day process of getting up every morning before I put my feet on the floor and acknowledging that I am creator. I am creating my reality. I can live a life without doubts, without fears, without worries, or all of this other staticky energy going on. I can abide as presence. And I'm telling you guys the truth, that it has only been a few days that I've been working with this practice, and I do see a difference in how I'm responding. It's as if that little reminder comes up, oh, you're not that old personality anymore. You don't have to respond. You don't have to be triggered by anything because you don't have all these triggers. It has made a difference in how I'm showing up in the world in a very short period of time. So anyone else who cares to join me on this 21-day adventure, you're welcome to wake up for the next 21 days doing the exact same thing. Imagining that you are what you want to be. Starting, flooding your frequency, as Bentinho puts it. Flooding your frequency with the person, the personality that you're choosing. Because again, going back here to what Brent Haskell shared in the triad number 2, everything is my choice. He didn't say some things, the good things, the great things, the okay things. Everything is my choice. So if I have that kind of power to choose. And again, I've been doing that all alone, except I've been doing it by default. Choices have been made at some level that I'm not consciously aware of about what's going to happen or what's going to show up. But since everything is my choice, how about I choose to be the personality that abides as presence, that doesn't live with all these triggers and doubts? And again, it's been an amazing experience over the past few days. Of course, whenever I embark on something like that, the universe responds right away by giving me something to work on. Oh, are we working on living that way? Then here's this thing that you can immediately work on being trigger-free with. And I've been highly successful over the past few days, and I've had a downtime where I felt like, okay, the new personality is obviously taking a break right now. So all in fun, all in curiosity, again, in wonderment. All right? So there was just one other. I know I've said so much here today, and I hope that there's something here that you can find some true value in. But there was just one other point, one other breakaway item that I took away from the retreat this past week. And that was that everything that we're here to do, everything that we're here to share, every expression that we're here to deliver is already within us. Again, at that point, I was reminded of Regina and NTI. That would mean that she was born with NTI in her. It was her task through the course of this lifetime to develop that, to find that seed that she was born with, to cultivate that seed, to allow that seed to grow. And we all know her story. It wasn't always easy. It wasn't pie in the sky for her. But she had to cultivate the seed that was within her. And then that seed was allowed to blossom, and that seed continues to blossom because of her willingness. So just one other reminder that whatever you're here to do, it's already in you. Your only job is to remove the blocks, the barriers to love's presence, to allow that seed to be cultivated in whatever way the universe shows up for you, saying yes and amen, and to simply get out of the way. Allow everything to be neutral. Allow, see everything as an expression of freedom. Know that these senses will never report to us our truth. It's up to us to say, okay, I see that over there, but I'm going to abide His presence here. I'm going to stand in the knowing that all is well in all of creation, all of the time. And so I feel complete right now with this sharing. And I want to say that now is the time in our sharing, in our sanctuary, where Barb will post a link in the room for you to make a donation to Awakening Together if you're so guided to do so. You can do that now or post your donation later, and it's greatly appreciated from all of us here at Awakening Together. I'm going to release this mic now, and Lynn is going to play a song for us. It's called Let Go of the Shore. And that, in large part, is how we begin to cultivate the seeds that are within us, by choosing to let go of the shore. So enjoy this song, contemplate today's sharing, and we will there will be time for open sharing after this song. Great love to all of you, and namaste.
let go of the shore and let the water carry you. Let go of the shore, float into the mystery. You have all you need, it's all inside of you. Just close your eyes and breathe, and know that you are safe. Let go of the shore and let the water carry you. Let go of the shore, float into the mystery.
Thank you so much, Lynn, for that selection. And hopefully you all had a moment there to contemplate. And thank you for the comments in the room as well. I was fortunate enough to be the first minister up, so it was very helpful that I'm still very much drenched in that frequency. So now is the time where if you'd like to share anything, please put your hand up and I will release the mic to you. Okay, so I don't see any hands up right now. I guess it was, oh, well, and as soon as I said that, two hands jumped up right away. So I see Sonia's hand up here. I'll release the mic to you, Sonia.
There, can you hear me now? I must be that Verizon guy. I'm just so glad to have you guys back. Gloria, that was amazing. Thank you so much, and I can't wait to hear more and more. And I see the pictures, and I'm not jealous because you guys share you shared everything. I felt your hearts beating while you were there, but I want to thank you for sharing that shiftful message this morning, and I'm going to keep on beaming with you. And can you please tell us a little bit about where we could find the 21-day process? I really like that idea. And would like to join you there. I'd like to see a little bit more about it. Thank you.
Okay, sure. And thank you, Sonia. The 21-day process for me, I found Bentinho on SoundCloud, and that's where he has more information, more recordings there. And I love that you'd like to join me in that. Again, it has been interesting of the few days that I've been doing it. And there's not this big production about this 21-day process. He speaks very briefly about it, and it really is basically what I shared with you. But sure, that's where, and you can probably also find it on his website as well, which I believe is BentinhoMassaro.com. Jay, the mic is yours.
Hey, thank you, Gloria. It was awesome to hear you this week after the retreat. And when I gave Gloria a hug when I met her for the first time in person, she commented on how she thought I was taller than she thought I was. And I commented on how tall Gloria is as well. Very much almost equal height. yeah, it was really a beautiful sharing. I like how you recapped some of the essences of the teachings and you described your process. That was really great. And you know, there's so much to share. I look forward to hearing what Ken has to share too. That was honestly the best retreat I've ever been to, and I've been to quite a few retreats. I think it's just amazing how spontaneous and fun, and lots of dancing and energy, and just love that was shared at the event. And it was just awesome to be a part of helping bring it about to whatever degree that we were. It was mostly the spirit guiding it, really. And so many great messages. And I think one of the things to recap from what Brent Haskell shared was talking about living from your passion. Since he was at one time a physician for the Chicago Cubs, who just won the World Series, by the way. In case you didn't already realize that, you probably did, but he was their physician, and he saw so many different people, these professional sports players who lived so intensely from their passion. And you know, I just think this is the way Brent is in general. He has a lot of passion for the things he does, and he sees that as a way to be in the moment and to connect with spirit. So this is like a path that you can follow, and it's just not only makes you happy in life, like Gloria was talking about, get rid of those old brain pathways and rewire that brain to the better way, right? Be happy, let go of the negativity, and everything that's holding you back from that happiness, and seeing love in everything. And I just appreciated his message about how important it is to live from passion, so that you are in that moment and just present and giving your all. And you know, this is how love is. Love is not halfway. Living my life from love is, and this is something I really want, is to live my life from this loving space. There's so much more that happened over the weekend, including a lot of talk about spiritual aspirations, but that's I'd like to probably do a lot of sharing on that soon. But just living from passion and having that love flow from that space is so easy, I think. You know, it's just so easy. So, okay, giving up the mic.
All right, and thank you so much, Jay, for sharing. And I look forward to hearing what more you have, what other takeaways that you had from the retreat as well. I'm reading Regina's people. Regina posted here, people often ask me what Jasmine wants to do with her engineering double major. Answer, she's not thinking that far ahead. She's just doing what she wants to do now, living from passion. And that is so important. And that was absolutely one of the takeaways as well, that you do what you're passionate. And I'm very thrilled to say that in this moment I am in my passion. in this very moment that we are joined in, I am absolutely in the passion of my being. So, and I love being in this space because it is absolutely, you don't think about any of the other things that you have going on, or, you know, it's liberating beyond belief to be operating in, from, and as your passion. So that, it doesn't look like we have any other speakers who would like to speak today. So that will wrap up our sharing, our gathering for today. I want to say to you again, my name is Reverend Gloria Wells. I am the firstborn daughter of Lionel and Lula Hudson, and I am here to change the world. I am here to be the change that this world, and that change starts with me. It starts right here with who I'm being right here, right now in this moment. And the great part is you're also here to change this world. And that change starts with you. So namaste to all of you. Thank you so much for joining me today. Love to you all. And enjoy fellowship hour up next with Ken and Rebecca Gibson.